Hello, hello, and welcome to our podcast, Cry, Laugh, Eat, Making Friends with Your Emotions. My name is Helen.
Kia ora, everyone. My name is Ruth. Now, every episode, we discuss emotions in everyday life. And today we're coming in from a slightly different angle. And you might remember that we frequently mention that emotions are like notifications. They send you a little... They're telling us or notifying us that something requires our attention. But what happens when we ignore the notifications, when they continually are letting us know something, but we just dismiss them or take them lightly or we just ignore them? One of the things that happens when we ignore notifications is that we begin to feel overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to just discuss for a minute what overwhelm means.
So emotional overwhelm is more than being stressed. It means to be completely submerged by your thoughts and your emotions about all of life's current problems to the point where you lack productivity or you feel frozen or paralyzed. Is there a difference between feeling overwhelmed and becoming overwhelmed? You can actually feel overwhelm without becoming overwhelmed. So let's explore first what overwhelm is.
I like using the analogy again of the waves. Mm-hmm. We always talk about emotions being like the waves of the sea, how they ebb and flow. So overwhelm, if you were riding a wave, initially it's great fun in the sea, isn't it, Helen? You love it.
I love it, yeah. Yes.
So you can be riding a wave. But what happens to you when that wave, all of a sudden, it becomes very powerful and you start to feel a little bit nervous, don't you?
Mm.
Because it's so powerful, you can feel the power of the water underneath and you could feel like you're losing control.
Yes, so if I catch a wave on my boogie board that's bigger than I thought, I'm holding really tight and kind of going, ah. Especially if the wave then has a
go?
Big dip. Oh!
Beautiful. B flat.
Stressing the flat. Yes, so overwhelm is riding the wave and feeling some tension.
And fear.
And fear, yes.
And hanging on for dear life.
But would you say that that is not overwhelmed?
No, it's not being overwhelmed because everybody will feel overwhelmed. When you're so busy, sometimes it's easy to ignore the notifications, the emotions saying, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there, and you're on that wave and life's fine and it's going okay and you haven't fallen over at all, but then life picks up. And all of a sudden, things are getting faster. There's a lot on your plate. Someone asks you to do something. And we tend to say, yes, yes, I'll help. I'll do that. And that's another thing. Each thing that you add to your life increases the intensity of the wave.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets more and more powerful. What would you do on a boogie board if it was that powerful?
Well, recently I went to the beach and it was much stronger than I thought. I rode a few waves, rode one into the shore then and thought, that's enough. I need to stop.
Brilliant. Yeah. Now, that's the lesson, folks, in a nutshell.
See you next week.
You need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Love it, Helen.
And if we don't...
Then you get
dumped by that wave. You're under the water and feeling completely tumbled.
You're absolutely exhausted from trying to keep up on that wave and keep your balance. And that's what happens when you become overwhelmed, that's ED on the end, then that's the action of being dumped or submerged or buried in all your problems. And then the sad thing is it takes you a lot longer to recover.
So then the key is to start recognizing when we feel overwhelmed so that we don't
become overwhelmed.
Yes. Well, then that leads to a great question. How do we know when we've reached our limits and we're feeling that overwhelm?
And we're heading
towards overwhelmed. How do we know our limits?
Oh, that's a great question. And everyone will have to look at themselves and patterns that they have to know what their limit is. But I'll share how I know my limits, and I'll use another water story. That everyone that knows me knows that I'm a terrible swimmer and I actually loathe the water. I don't enjoy being in the water at all.
Do you ever shower?
I've actually thought about it. Hey, funny thing is though, Helen, even under the shower, I don't always breathe properly. I almost hold my breath sometimes. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Anyway, it's a childhood thing. It happened when I was a baby. And so ever since then, I've never really liked water. Moving forward, I'll give you an example of how I know my limits. And I'll liken it to being in the water for me. So when I hop in a pool, I'm quite happy to put my head underwater. That's fine. I don't mind playing the water and I'll have fun in it. But I will not go any deeper in the water than, say, perhaps chest height. And if I try to continue walking, I have to feel the bottom of the pool or the sea or whatever it is. If I keep walking, I feel myself, my heart rate increases. I start to feel a little bit panicky. I get tense and I go a little bit, I take one step forward in the pool and I can feel, oh, the water's above my chest now, and I get a little bit breathless. But there's a lot of tension and there's anxiety. Now that to me is overwhelm. That's what overwhelm is like. And so when I'm in the pool like that and I'm starting to feel like that, I stop. Just like you said before, you stop. Well, I stop and I take a step back.
Backwards.
To where I feel comfortable and safe again. It's still a challenge for me in being up to my chest in water, but any higher and I feel like I might drown.
Can I ask you a question here?
That's one. Next.
So question number two is, as you were saying that, I thought, well, that's what I feel. If I'm getting overwhelmed, I won't feel peaceful. My heart rate is beating faster. I feel tense and I tend to overthink and then I can't think clearly. If you were to ask me something when I'm in that state, I won't be able to answer clearly.
I'm just thinking, you mentioned about the body and the tension and how you're overthinking that. I was thinking along with that, people can experience tummy pains, bowel movement changes, headaches, anxiety, inability to sleep. Overwhelm occurs when you constantly ignore these signs and notifications. Your emotions are already letting you know via your mind and your body.
So the consequences of ignoring overwhelm will be that you fall into becoming overwhelmed. Those signs of overwhelm will only get stronger. So
That's right.
It was me, my mind will keep spinning. I will continually feel tense. I'll be continually overthinking. That cycle will repeat. Back to my number two question, which I didn't get straight to because I waffled on. My question is, Ruth, I loved how you said in the pool, when the water's become over your chest and you're starting to feel that panicky feeling, that you actually take a step backwards. I can really see that in the pool. Could we explore what that looks like, say, in your everyday life?
Okay. At the moment, I'm doing quite a few things in my life, and so my life is very full. And occasionally I get asked to do something extra, and it may be little, it may be major. But my first question then is,
are you saying you don't just automatically say yes?
Correct. What I do, I guess mentally, is I step back and then I evaluate where I am, how I'm feeling, and I will think, right, I've got this on this week, this on next week, I've got these assignments to complete, I've got meetings on that night and that night, and someone may have just invited me out for dinner, and that's a lovely thing, but it may be too much.
So in that moment, just say you're being asked out for dinner, do you do it all really quickly on the spot, or do you sometimes need space to think about that?
Yes, it can be both, you know. I like to think about it. Sometimes I know immediately because I've already looked at things for that week and the next week and maybe the next month. And I know, oh, it's a really hectic month. And when I see what's happening, I will make sure, and I will actually say to myself, okay, I'm not taking on anything else. Mm-hmm. So that if someone asks me, it's just, no, I can't, I'm sorry.
So that sounds really intentional, like you've thought about that before the situation comes up. Does that then make it much easier to say, I'm really sorry, I can't?
Yeah, it does. And it's life experience. Mm-hmm. My goodness, when I was younger, I was like a headless chook. I was running around trying to save the world.
Oh, yeah.
Super chick. So, yeah, you do. You're trying to do everything. And there's so many people out there like that. Their lives are full. They work and they have lots of responsibilities at home. And sometimes you don't even need to be busy to feel overwhelmed. Mm. That's important to remember too.
So shall we explore what we've learned from overwhelm?
Brilliant.
Okay. Well, I am learning because it's a lifelong process, but I'm someone who has probably been overwhelmed by some of life's experiences. And I think as a little girl, having a tendency to become anxious with things, it's very easy to then be in a lot of overwhelm. I definitely in the past tried to do everything and be everything for everybody that I love. And perhaps even those I don't, if they ask me something, just was an automatic yes. That is not knowing that you're feeling overwhelmed and that you're fast heading to becoming overwhelmed. So I've learned to break each situation down into looking at the situation and what I can do. So currently, apart from my work and other things that I have in my life, I have two parents in great need and they're not together. They live separately and one is diagnosed with dementia just recently and the other one's waiting a diagnosis. And so their priority, their needs are really high. We had a great discussion, you and I, this morning because I know I was looking overwhelmed and you helped me to break it down into, okay, let's look at your dad. What can you do there? And as I said, what I can do and what I'm doing. I realized as I said it out loud, I got this. That's what I can do.
Mm. So it's respecting yourself and allotting time. A huge part for me of overwhelm is feeling like you don't have the time to do everything that you need to do or to be with everyone that you want to be with. So part of breaking things down is to look at your time. It's to organize it. Like, for example, I know in the past I might have a very full week and someone will say, oh, could you just drop this off on your way to so-and-so? And I've said, oh, okay, that's fine. But in reality, what I've done is I've added half an hour to my already hectic day, which means, oh, I don't have time to do this now. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you have one way you can respect yourself and help others too to honour your time is to take care of it yourself.
Mm.
And once you take care of the time aspect, I find that, okay, that's good. I can do that. Or, no, I'm sorry, I can't add that to my plate. Time will let you know.
Mm.
You can't fit that in.
That's a great thing to remember if you're a people pleaser or find it really hard to say no.
Mm.
If you've looked at your time carefully, sometimes you know you have to say no because you really can't do it or you will head to overwhelm.
Mm.
Would you add anything about what you've learnt?
I suppose looking at time too is if you're on that wave or if I'm in the water walking in the pool and I reach chest height again and I start to feel the panic, would it be a wise thing to keep going?
Mm. No.
Hello? You're going to drown or whatever.
And I think sometimes we can easily push ourselves because we think we need to be strong and we think we won't drown. Mm. But
or there's pride.
Yeah, pride, that's right. I can do this.
Mm. Yeah. We're trying to look good in front of others.
Or you want that person to know that they're loved, but we can show them that we love them and still say, I really can't do that.
Mm. I think too the other thing about time is that most of us, I would say, want to honour the commitments that we currently have. And I know that if I take on anything else, I won't be able to give those commitments my best. So it's really important. I don't want to spread myself so thin that everyone's getting 2% of me. I want to be able to honour those commitments. So as we come to an end of this episode, if there was any one thing or one message that we would want to leave with you, our listener, that would really help you, and that's really simple, it would be the word stop.
Ooh.
Because when you're in overwhelm, you're so wound up and busy and frantic and perhaps even numb for some people,
mm-hmm.
that these emotions that are your friends have been telling you for some time, they've been notifying, signalling you, alerting you and saying something needs your attention. But in our busyness, sometimes we just keep running around and we keep doing things and we keep saying yes. And so our message to you today is stop.
And in the stopping, that's when we can find out what's leading to the overwhelm and what's the cause and what do we need. And if we don't stop, it will turn from overwhelm to overwhelm. Duh.
Yeah, so don't be duh. Just stop. But seriously though, we really care about you. We want to make sure that you take care of yourself. That's one of the lessons overwhelm teaches us, certainly me, that I am responsible for myself. I need to respect and honour that.
And I love that. Learning to respect and honour ourselves is so important. We can't expect anyone else to do that.
Mm.
If we don't do it ourselves, for ourselves.
Mm. So if you feel overwhelmed, stop. And if you're feeling overwhelmed and you can't see a way out of it, remember we strongly encourage you to see someone professional who can help you. And we'll see you next week.
Yep, can't wait to talk with you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us. Bye.
Bye. So shall we explore what we've learned from overwhelm?
Brilliant.
Can't wait.
No one wants to go first.
Take two, breaking it in.
They're great things. Got to be cutting that line out.
Don't you worry about that.
Nice, nice.